Our subject today will be answering the question is, what will we know and learn in heaven? Alcorn poses a number of questions that might naturally come up that you might have thought of yourself. In fact, I've had a fun time answering questions that have come from the children of the congregation as they've been prompted to think about heaven. So the first question that we're going to consider is, will we know everything? This is a question that rises probably out of a New Testament passage, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." So the question is, will we know everything? And that passage seems to suggest knowing fully, as one translation puts it. The simple answer to that question is no. You won't know everything. Only God is omniscient. Do you know what omniscient means? Rachel? That's right. Only God knows all things. That passage that I read from 1 Corinthians 13 does say that we will fully know, but it doesn't necessarily mean knowing everything. It more rightly refers to a knowledge that is free from errors and the misconceptions that sin bring to us, to our minds right now. The comparison that Paul gives here is that of a mirror. And do you know what mirrors were like in Paul's day? It wasn't like we have today. He couldn't go and into the bathroom and have a very clear silver glass reflection of himself. He couldn't turn on his webcam and check out to make sure he didn't have any food still on his face. What was a mirror like in Paul's day?
It's a shiny metal.
Right. It was a piece of metal that would have been buffed and shined. Not a very good reflection, typically, and was prone to getting bent a little bit since it was metal, and you'd have distortions because of that. That polished metal, and he says, now we see in a mirror dimly, and it's like, there is kind of a cloudy reflection and not very, very clear. But then face to face, and you can think of sitting across the table from someone and relating to them face to face instead of trying to look through a mirror. It's that type of clarity and accuracy of knowledge that Paul is getting at. You also ought to recognize that that seeing and knowing are related in thought, so that there's some sense of Paul talking about what we see and what we know. You could think of other passages that we've already looked at that say that in heaven we will see God. we'll know him truly without distortions or without errors. But that knowledge will still be finite because we're finite. We're not God. Will we learn then? Well, it depends on your answer to the first question. If you know everything, you don't need to learn anything. Given the fact that that we aren't God and that we don't know all things, it seems that we could answer this by saying that yes, there is a place for mankind to continue to learn. While on earth, Jesus very clearly called his disciples to learn from him. Matthew 11:29 says that very directly. And he applauded Mary, who sat at his feet and spent time learning from Jesus. Now, the question is, though, that was now. What about in heaven? Alcorn points to Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7, as referring to learning in heaven. I want you to hear these verses, and I'll make a few comments on them. It starts in the middle of a thought, but it says, "And he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." And the turning point here is what is Paul talking about when he talks about the coming ages? It is probable that that phrase refers to heaven itself. There's some possibility that it might be the coming ages of the church here on earth that will be brought to life spiritually and shown the riches of God's grace. My inclination, though, is to see this Paul talking here about the there's this, we're spiritually made alive, but then we are also in the resurrection. We are raised and seated with him in the heavenly places. There's a present reality about that. Ephesians 1 talks about how that is our privilege already. That's where it gets a little hard to decide about this. But then the coming ages does seem to be referring to our eternal home and the immeasurable riches of his grace that will be enjoyed forever. The idea there is that we will never come to an end of learning the depths or appreciating the depths of what Christ has done for us. And that's hard for our human minds to comprehend, because we are so finite. Everything has a beginning and has an end. And everything has everything is limited that way. But the depths of what God has done for us revolve around just, in fact, who God is himself and his eternal character. So it does seem like there's a process of continuing to learn. Alcorn does ask the question about that whole idea of process as well. Will there be transformation and growth in our understanding and knowledge? And he points to another passage from Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Where it says, "And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord. There's a question of whether this is part of the transformation of our sanctification now, of our going through the process of being made more and more like God, or whether this is some transformation that continues in heaven, the one degree to another, and that transformation that takes place. Alcorn refers to Jonathan Edwards here, saying, "How soon do earthly lovers come to an end of their discoveries of each other's beauty? How soon do they see all there is to be seen? But in heaven, there is eternal progress, with new beauties always being discovered. We will continually become happier in heaven in a never-ending, ever-increasing discovery of more and more of God's glory, with greater and greater joy in him." One last quote there: "We will always be learning something new about our bridegroom." Edwards and many other Puritans often use the husband and wife relationship to talk about our union with Christ, and speak of it in almost an embarrassingly intimate way. But it's true here to talk about Jesus as our bridegroom, and always learning something new about our bridegroom and appreciating the beauty that is there. There is some sense of process or growth in glory and in delight. What will it be like to learn? What's that? Lord, hasten that day. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice to be able to learn and not forget the things that you've learned? I'll ask the children, do you like school? There's an honest answer. Good, I'm glad that you like to learn. Some of us might not like it so much, or there may be subjects that you don't like. When freed from sin, think back to the Garden of Eden and the mandate that God gave to Adam and Eve. It's a mandate to know and to classify and to exercise dominion over the whole earth. And that wasn't something that Adam was given immediately, just at the snap of a finger, because God said that. God laid out in front of him a process of learning and knowing and exercising that authority over the world. And it was a good mandate that was given to him. It was a pleasant and enjoyable thing that Adam and Eve set out on. Oftentimes learning is tedious now. We do forget. We get distracted. We run up against a lot of walls. But it seems that we could say that there'll be a delight in that learning. And the final question that Alcorn asks is, will there be books in heaven?
If you don't forget anything, it won't mean it be.
I had some eager eyes looking at me when I, will there be books in heaven? Why are you eagerly looking at me that way? I'll ask you all that.
No, I take that back. You could still share your experiences with somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, are we talking Calvin and Hobbes or what?
I think there may be some of that.
All right, I'm in.
Why might there be some of that? Jonathan has cited one reason. We would share our experiences with others that way.
There is, certain experiences. Like, you know, sure, you know how the story goes, but rereading it, going through the story again.
Mm-hmm.
Our names are also written.
Very good, very good. We know there are some books, because the Bible says that there is there's a book of life. God's word itself is said to that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. So we know that there are at least two books, the book of life, and Malachi 3 also talks about God writing down the faithful deeds of his people. A fascinating passage that you can look at, that chapter, Malachi 3, and think about God recording things to remember, as it were. And it's if we don't forget, we might say, well, you don't have to remember, but there is a calling to mind of things that writing them down does. A calling to mind of God's goodness. And then we can look at the created nature of mankind as well. And God has made us to be creative like He is. Some are gifted in storytelling and in writing things. Some are gifted in research and recording that research. It seems appropriate that those things would continue.
The Malachi, I mean, also in Revelation 20, it says the books were opened.
That's right.
So, I mean, is that basically what that's referring to?
That's the way I take that, yeah. Back to the creative nature of mankind, it seems that there would be an expression of that in heaven as being part of who mankind is. The Wes and Sam and I have been reading some novels, and I was talking with Logan and Hannah about those novels recently. Enjoyable stories, interesting questions about life. A non-Christian worldview, though, but he's asking probing questions. And Hannah commented, wouldn't it be great if he would find the right answers and be converted and continue to tell such good stories? And will there be humor in heaven? Well, God's made us that way. It seems like there will be humor at the and God has made us imaginative. He's made us creative. And it seems appropriate that those things would continue. I guess in heaven your bookshelves will never collapse under the weight of the books like some bookshelves I know have done.
Silverfish, too.
That's right. No mold to make them rot away. That's right. Well, it's fun to imagine these things about heaven together, and to look forward to learning from Him in a sinless attitude and atmosphere. Well, let's bow in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the promises that You make to us, and we continue to long for the new heavens and the new earth, the reality that has already begun in us and is a gift to us already, that we look forward to fulfillment and further growth in eternity. And we pray, Lord, that You would be making us fit for heaven right now by the work of Your Spirit in us, prompting us to grow closer and closer to You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Your